Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Hagman Report Live, that's where to go for all programs. HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReportLive.com, programs, HagmanReport.com for print, HagmanStore.com for the greatest coffee you'll ever want and need. The proceeds of which go to boots-on-the-ground organizations that fight child and human sex trafficking. Big news, of course, overnight, President Trump and Melania testing positive for the coronavirus, 14-day quarantine. How convenient. Okay, and I say that, look, we don't know exactly what's going on. My phone's been ringing the entire night, last night, the entire day. We know E6B or EB6 planes. In fact, if you can put the Twitter feed up there that I sent real quick here, and then we're going to get to Dr. Proctor. This from, I can't even pronounce that last name, so I'm not going to try. Nancy Pelosi, this according to this individual on Twitter under the headline.
I think it's Fiegelding.
Fiegelding. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
I had to say
young
it.
Man.
I had to say that.
It's fun to say.
Fiegelding.
Fiegelding. Nancy Pelosi has just been contacted by the White House on protocols of continuity of government, according to MSNBC. How about a bunch of crap? How about BS? BS. Getting serious, folks. In my view, it's BS, okay? All right, because here's the reason. It's the continuity of government's always there. If you can put that back up, just one more time here, and then scroll down just briefly. I want to show you something. Scroll down, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Right there. Stop right there. Okay, this from Tim Hogan. Look, this is a retweet. There's an E-6B Mercury off the East Coast near D.C. This is early this morning. Folks, there are planes. There are a couple of planes that fly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're doomsday planes, essentially. Okay. They send a message. If you're going to get froggy with us, well, we can get equally froggy with you. Okay. Now, they fly 24/7, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast that we know of. What happened? Simply, they just turned their transponders on. They fly all the time. They just turned their transponders on. Don't go off the rails, folks. Okay, just don't go off the rails. It sends a message to our enemies. Hey, we got this. All right. That's all. So yeah, they're flying all the time, minus their transponders. Turn them on. Bada bing, bada bang. Hey, we're here. Hello. Don't try anything. That's all. All right. Here with me. We missed him on Wednesday. I apologize for that. Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. If you haven't done so, buy the book, Saving the Constitution by Dr. Proctor. Do it now. In fact, there's never been a more important time in the history of this country, in your personal history, than right now for you to buy Saving the Constitution. That's right. I'm pimping his book. You doggone right I am. And I would say buy two copies if you haven't done so. Send one to your lawmaker, representative. Keep one for yourself. Or buy a bunch and send them out to your kids, your whoever. And then, of course, he's got his litany of other books, economics and such. Dr. Richard Proctor. Doctor, thanks for accommodating me. I know you're a busy man. And I know your schedule is important. So let's get started. I'm going to kick it over to you, and I know you've got some things you want to talk about. So let's go.
Yes, I do. I'm going to back up a little bit. I don't like to have quite as big a picture here. So I'm going to back up a little bit, run the camera back a little bit so that I'm not occupying the whole place here. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey guys, the most important thing that's going on today, other than the things you're talking about, but I think this is really crucial.
Okay.
Nobody's talking about it but me. And that's the 20th Amendment.
Yep.
They're just not doing it. And you know, I'm going to read out of the 20th Amendment here just an item that has been overlooked even. It's just so, it's so minor. It's so minor. Right here. This is not minor. Okay. All right. The Congress may by law, I'm reading that paragraph again, provide for the case wherein neither a president-elect nor a vice-president-elect shall have qualified. Now, here's the piece that's crucial, this next few words, declaring who shall then act as president or the manner in which one who is to act shall be selected. Did you pick up that? The manner in which the one who is to act as president shall be selected. In other words, that says that when Congress meets to take over the government on 1201 January the 20th, they not only are going to select who's going to act as president, they're also going to select or decide on the manner that they're going to use to select that person. It doesn't have to be votes. Everything that's happened before can be discarded. They are completely, it gives them the complete authority to decide what they're going to use to decide who will be selected to president. Notice how open-ended that is. We're talking about the most dangerous amendment we've ever seen. They can decide who will. They can decide how he'll be selected. Then it goes on the next side, and such person shall act accordingly until a president or a vice president shall have qualified. Now, shall have qualified can be anything they want it to be. In other words, they can choose whoever they want, by any means they want, in any way they want, no matter who it is. There's no rule about this, on the manner in which they want to do it. That's what it says. 20th Amendment, last paragraph, last few sentences of the Section 3. And nobody is talking about it. They're worried about packing the Supreme Court. They're worried about the problem with the Electoral College. They're worried, oh, he's the military. We're going to shove him out. Oh. They don't have to shove him out. There's the law right there. He's not president anymore, and they're going to choose who it is by any manner they choose. Do you realize how bad this is for us?
Let's word him this, if you don't mind. Okay, now Alex Jones was talking about this very issue. And as a matter of fact, your name came up on InfoWars. I think it was Wednesday, maybe, or Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, it was Wednesday, yes. Okay. So I'm waiting for them to call me. I'm going to be on the Alex Jones show.
Yeah.
I don't know when yet.
Okay, which I think is so important because the people need to understand this. But we're game this out for us, if you don't mind. What are you saying? For example, they want Trump out so bad. They want him to die from coronavirus. They want him to die by any means necessary. They just want him to go away. They hate him so bad. So we're getting the 20th Amendment out for us, if you don't mind. How's this? Because Glenn Beck did a whole big thing too, by the way, on the plot to overthrow the president. But tell me, how would this work? I mean, how could this?
It's 1933, guys. Well, today isn't, but it was 1933. Now let's just talk about what occurred in that particular area. One of the major things that occurred, this is in 1929, which is just, you know, a few years ahead, but it's the same general era. In 1929, they decided, they being the power that's above all of this, the power in charge, the power that's the Illuminati and the international banking establishment, those people decided that the number of representatives was getting too large for them to control. So they looked back at the census of 1920, and based on the census of 1920, we should have something like 2,000 representatives, but we had 435. I don't know whoever decided that. Okay, so now we have 435. They decided in 1929 that that's all there's going to be. Period. That's a major thing that occurred. No amendment, no nothing, just those guys decided. There might have been a law in Congress, but that doesn't take precedence over the Constitution. So they just decided. That's one of the catastrophes that happened in that era. The next, in March, that's the 36 hours after President Roosevelt took office, swore the takeout. 36 hours later, in March, he signed the bill that closed the banks, which was the beginning of the depression of the 1930s, because the same people, the Illuminati, the Rothschilds, all those people, whoever those descendants are, wanted to have a bank holiday so they could begin the depression they wanted to have happen. That happened in 33. The same time in January of 33, the 20th Amendment was passed, and it sat idle. It was passed for the purpose of what's happening right now. These things are planned. We all know that the Rockefeller Foundation sent out the scenario of what's going on now. It's on page 18. You can read it. It was the foundation published this. I don't remember the title of it. It's too big and long. But on page 18, it just talks about exactly what's going on. They tested it in 2012. I don't know exactly how they tested it, but they did. And then they had SARS, and that didn't work enough. And then they had another one, and then they had another one. And finally, this one, they decided it's going to work. So they had to have Hollywood pictures of people in China falling over dead in the streets. All the other problems had to be Hollywood-type arrangement. Not Hollywood, necessarily. There's lots of people with cameras. So anyway, they did that. They did that, okay? They developed the vaccine, the disease. Our buddy Bill Gates has patents on the disease. He has patents on the vaccine. And I've already sent out information to some people about what's going to be in the vaccine. This is all planned. It's been planned for a decade. It's been planned for 100 years. They are now getting ready to put it into effect. When they did the 20th Amendment, whoever wrote it knew exactly what to write. Just listen to the significance of this. You know exactly what to write. 20th Amendment. Richard, go back to the 20th. Check my paper. It's declaring Congress who shall then act as president. Or the manner in which the one who is to act shall be selected. That phrase in commas, the manner, they're going to decide the manner. That's what that phrase gives them. They wrote that in 33. It just looked like housekeeping. You know, this is the day, let's be an official day for the president to take office. The 20th of January, official day for him to take office. Well, that's no big thing. You should have an official day. It was March the 3rd before that. It's been several different days. This amendment established it to be on the 20th of January, right there, fig day, 20th day of January. Noon, by the way, even that, noon. It doesn't say just the 20th. It says at 12 o'clock noon, he vacates and the new guy swears in. That's what happens at 12 o'clock noon on the 20th. But down here in the third section, which is hidden away, down here in the third section, it says, oh, by the way, if nobody's qualified, this is what's going to happen. Now, they didn't define what qualified means. I don't know what qualified means. Somebody's going to say a person's qualified. My definition of qualified is that the 50 states have certified their votes. Did I say 50 states? Yes, I did. I didn't say two. I didn't say six. I didn't say three. I said 50 states have certified their votes. And that certifies the election. Therefore, we know who officially was elected. But if they don't certify them, then what? What does the word qualified mean? If the 50 states, even one of them, doesn't certify it, then what? That means the election's not finished. Is it possible to delay this thing from November the 7th clear till January the 20th? Well, let me see. How many million mail-in ballots are out there? I don't know. I don't know how many million are out there. How long will it take to count? A million mail-in absentee or mail-in ballots. We're not talking one day. We're not talking 3 days. It can be postponed and postponed and postponed. We haven't done it yet. We can't certify. We haven't counted all the mail-in ballots yet. Pennsylvania's decided that the 3rd is the date the vote election takes place in their state. Congratulations, Doug. You've got a state that has already decided that they're not going to elect the president on Tuesday. They're going to elect the president on Friday.
Yeah.
And I think that's very nice that they've all decided that already. It's been done.
Yeah. I just, you know, what happened to you show up, you vote, you go home.
That's all gone because, well, we have this disease. Everybody that shows up will get sick and die. Oh, we can't do this. Oh, no. Isn't that what's going on?
Yeah.
Have we ever seen anybody die in the street yet with blood gushing out of their mouth? Ever? Anybody?
I have, but not from COVID.
Anybody.
No.
But that's what they portrayed it was going to be like on the first days in January. That's what they portrayed. It's all a lie. Every bit of it's been a lie. It's all been planned. It's all been prepared. The videos have been prepared. All the stuff was prepared, and then they just put it out. Who's in charge? Well, you know, I've got this little thing that says, who's in charge of us? One of those is the media. Whoever is in control of the media is control of us. And we allow that because we just hunker down right in front of that meeting and drink in every word. Even though last November and December, everybody says, oh, we don't believe the media. We don't believe the media. But in January, they hunkered down in front of that and took every word as gospel. Now, what? Last week, the week before, this CDC came out and said, oh, folks, all those deaths, they're not corona. They're other things. There's only 6% that's the virus, COVID-19 virus. Only 6%. Oh, and then they came out and said, oh, it was a mistake. It's not airborne after all. Oh, it's a mistake. Now, I ask you the question. Since that's been admitted, has the media said a word about it? Not one.
No.
Do the people who are wearing masks believe it? Not one. They get mad at you. This happened to me this week. I was in the grocery store. I saw a young lady with a very attractive little girl sitting in the cart with a mask on. I thought, this is terrible, that young lady. This is terrible. So I wandered over and I says, you should never put a mask on your child. She looked at me with anger in her eyes, behind her mask, of course, anger in her eyes and says, she asked for it. And I said, well, that doesn't make any difference. It still isn't healthy. And walked away. What more could I say? I could have said, well, if she wants to stick her finger in an eye socket, in an electric socket, is that okay?
If she asked for it.
Yeah. I want to stick my finger there. Okay, go ahead. That's not the way parents act. She was angry with me, walked away, and I did too, and I didn't push it on any further. But that's the way they're acting. By the way, this was after the announcement that it's not airborne. Are you picking up on this?
I am.
Nobody is changing their mind. You still have the 6 foot apart. It's not airborne. Still got to stand 6 foot apart. 6 foot was the problem we just settled on in the beginning in January. It was 12 feet. Has anybody taken two yardsticks, tape them together to see what a 6 foot range is? Does anybody stay 6 foot away from anybody else? No, it's stupid. But that's the words. Those are the things. So everywhere you go, don't walk on this. Don't walk on this aisle. Go this direction. Go that direction. Has anything changed? Nothing. But the CDC has come out and admitted that the whole thing's a hoax. There's a disease, but the pandemic's all a hoax. They've come out and admitted it. They didn't say those words, but that's what they said. Nobody changed their mind. Nobody's changed. The 20th Amendment, it's there to be seen. It's there to know. This is not written last week. This was written and ratified. This particular amendment was ratified in January. In January, I'll tell you exactly the date, January the 23rd of 33. That's when it was written. That's when it was planned. That's when this item was put in place so that when the day came, they could say, okay, guys, let's go run with it. And they've been testing the waters on these flus for a decade. Oh, they've been testing them. I remember the one they called, it was the first one. It was done with initials, N1 something, N1213, I don't remember.
H1N1, you're talking about?
Yep, that one came out. Interestingly enough, it broke out in a school somewhere in California first, We're all there by itself. Then another school up in Massachusetts. I have many of the news broadcasts that came on the internet. I have them in my computer if I want to look them up. But anyway, it came out. Then it wound up on a cruise ship somewhere. What's going on here? How could it pop up in all these various places and be a flu that's come about with the people? Something that's coming about with the people that the people are causing will have a particular person that's the carrier in the spot. They will be able to go back to that person and be able to find out who the first person was that had it. Not this one, not that, not the one we have now either. January again, a guy in Northern California who had no contact with anybody from China, no anything at all. Bingo, he's positive. How'd that happen? How did this guy, who's a stranger to anything that they say is causing it, how did he pop up with it? Because it's all planned. Do I know that a guy in Northern California came up with it? No, I don't know that. I just know the media said it. I don't know what happened. I'll bet you can't find that guy in Northern California that popped up with that disease. Bet you can't do it. Folks, this is what we're happening. This is what's being shoved down our throats. That's what the Liberty series talks about. Mm-hmm. It's talking about how these things are all shoved down our throats. And the patterns are all established. And then I use illustrations of all the patterns all the way through the 20th century. The 19th century. All the way through the 1900s, whatever century that is. All the way through the 1900s, pointing out all the stuff that was going on. I go back in the 1800s and point out stuff. I go back in the 1700s and point out stuff. So these patterns are there. They're there to be seen. You just have to have the information. Well, you don't have to go look for it. It's in the series, the Liberty series. Yep. All of this is in it.
That's true.
Am I getting carried away?
No. Yes, I am. I don't think you are. I think we've got to look at all of, look, the left has declared war on we the people. So.
Yes, we're at war, guys. It's not guns. We've already experienced this war. Did you know we already experienced this kind of war? It happened between the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812. England was at war with us all during that period on purpose, economically and impressing sailors off of merchant ships, our merchant ships. All the way through that period of time, they were at war with us and we were at war with them. Just wasn't guns, just wasn't mortars, just wasn't cannon, wasn't bullets. It was economics and it was politics. We're in that war again. We've been in that war again for a long time, but the battle came up in January of this year. And now it's obvious where we're at war. The obvious, let's go back to another thing. Let's go back to 2017 when a gentleman named Trump took office.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he took office peacefully? Are you so naive that you think it was peaceful? No. The war started outrageous, obvious, right out there in front of us on that day, on that inauguration day. Now, they were battering him around while he was a candidate, but now he's president. So from that moment on, the Democratic Party has done absolutely nothing to further this country. All they have done is bash Trump. Nothing else. The media has done nothing to further this country. All they've done is bash Trump. Now, all the other elections, the Democrats would have things that they would do and say, look, these are good things. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do the other. Not now. These last 3 years, well, four now. These last 4 years, they've done nothing politically except bash Trump. I'm surprised he's mentally survived it. Hey, guys, this is a real firm person that he's been able to do that for that long. And it's not just 5 years. It's more like six, all the way from when he declared candidacy. I mean, four of them. All the way since he declared his candidacy, they've been bashing him as hard as they can. Why? Because he's not a part of the background.
Deep state.
Not a part of the deep state. Not a part of the CFR. Not a part of the Illuminati. Not a part of the Bilderbergers. Not a part of the Economic Forum, World Economic Forum. He has attended some of those things, but he's not a part of them, or else they wouldn't do this to him. This is not fake. This is not something that they're doing for show. Hollywood, they wouldn't do this much. Come, they wouldn't do this much. Now, I'm going to assume that President Trump will take some action that will prevent some of these things from happening. I don't know quite how. I'll leave that for him and his advisors to figure it out. I just know that he's not going to sit idly by and let all these things occur. But the law is on these other guys' side. As long as the election's not certified, and there's no deadline to certify the election. The election's held on the Tuesday in January, I mean in November. There's no law that says how long they have to be until they certify. See, there's a key, isn't it? Certification of the votes. There's nothing that says they can do it tomorrow. They got to do it in 3 days. They got to do it in 10 days. Got to do it in a week. Nothing, 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 nothing. So all these mail-in ballots, that's ready. That's ready to not have them counted. Can't certify it. We haven't counted all the votes yet. Can't certify it. How many states will do that? More than one. More than two. You watch. This is how it's going to happen. But they're going to be complaining about the Electoral College. What are we going to do with the, they're supposed to meet in December. Oh yes. What are they going to do? Let's bomb their houses. Let's make sure they all are confined. Let's riot where they live. Let's do everything we can to stop that. Meanwhile, the 20th Amendment comes into effect because the states haven't certified their votes. And that'll be very quiet. Well, it won't be quiet. They just won't do it. Everybody knows that Pennsylvania's already changed their date to Friday. Some other state probably will change their date to the 10th. We won't be able to do it till the 10th. So anybody who wants to mail anything in up to the 10th, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, and to be clear, you're talking about mail-in, accepting the mail-in ballots.
Yes. Oh, no, I'm saying accepting the date they're mailed. Pennsylvania's changed the date they're mailed.
Correct. We're not talking about changing the voting day, showing up at the poll day.
No, that day stays the same.
Right.
That's no problem.
Right. Just to be clear.
The mail-in date, the date they decide that the mail-in dates can be mailed, is the election date of that state.
Right. Right. Which is ridiculous.
They'll still have the polls open. People will still go there and vote. Oh, yes, they'll be there. But all the mail-in ballots, they'll be counted whenever they are there to be counted. And already Pennsylvania said, I'm sorry to keep picking on your state, Doug.
No, that's fine, man. Governor Wolf is a wolf,
yes.
And you know, the health director is a cousin it, so pick away.
Yes, anyway, so here we have a state that has already decided that their final election day is Friday. Well, I don't know, maybe California will. I'm going to do you one better. Our final election day will be the week after the 10th, whatever. You know, I'm just picking stuff out of the air. And then New York won't want to be outdone. They're going to probably choose their date to be sometime the 2nd of December. You see what I'm saying? All they have to do is say that. Everybody has already been in, it's already been done, and nobody has cried foul. That is foul, by the way. That is against the Constitution, that fooling around. But the mail-in ballots that haven't been counted, that's not. That's legal. The state doesn't certify their vote until it's done, till it's finished. Hmm. So they can be counting ballots as long as they want. And look how many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of ballots are out there. We even know that there's been thousands and thousands that have been dumped in ditches. We know that. That happened up in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is terrible. People are,
what can be done about this? I mean, couldn't this work the other way? Because now in the Liberty Series, folks, get the Liberty Series as well from provisinstitute.com. It's a series of books. It's fantastic. It gives you the background. This 20th Amendment, this was referenced, I think this was the Norris Resolution or Norris Amendment, the background of this, but I did take some notes on this, and I'm trying to remember, don't quote me on this, but couldn't President Trump actually flip it somehow and make it work to his benefit or not?
Well, They've got good minds up there in the White House around him. They're not all deep state. He's got some good minds around him, and he has a good mind. He's seen this coming. I'm not the only one who can see this. Everybody that's in close to the politics, they know it. They know it's happening. Just nobody's telling us. I'm a lone wolf in the wilderness telling everybody what the 20th Amendment is, what it means, how it can be used. Nobody else is. Nobody. Alex Jones mentioned it because somebody else told him about it on the call in. You got to get him. He talks about this 20th Amendment. That's the only other time that it's been mentioned. All radiating from me because I figured it out. And I'm not the only one that's figured it out. I'm just the only one saying anything. I would think the media would be saying something, but no, 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 no. By the way, I say that the media is the fourth branch of the government. It's a quiet branch of the government, sits out there and does what the let's just call it the international banking establishment. That encompasses all these people, what they're doing. People don't realize it. This is in the book. This is in the book, okay, in the Liberty series. The media was purchased by Morgan, J.P. Morgan, in the early 1920s. The entire media editorial staff of every major newspaper and every major outlet was purchased in 1920s. That expanded to be the TV and radio after newspapers were the only one that expanded. They own, J.P. Morgan owned everything to do with the then media. Now, what does that mean? J.P. Morgan's not with us. But who did he buy it for? He bought it for the international banking establishment. He was a Rothschild agent. He didn't have very much money of his own. All the money he threw around was Rothschild money to do these kinds of things. If you've been reading my books, you'd know that. I don't know anything except the stuff I wrote. Anyway, so here we've got a guy purchasing the whole way we receive our information. And it's been purchased since then, and it's been used since then to control everything that we hear in the major media sources. Now think on that for a moment. How have we been toyed with there? Oh yes, we've been toyed with. And this is what's happening. And this is a culmination of what's been going on since 1776 on May the 1st, when the Illuminati was founded in this era, when this kind of thing was founded in this era, and it has never been disbanded. It's hidden, it's moved around, it's gone other places. It was here in the United States in the 1700s. How do we know that? Because on our dollar bill, the not just that, the U.S. seal, the seal of our government, on the backside has the Illuminati symbol. The backside of our seal, which is on the $1 bill. You can all look at it. Pull it out of your pocket and look at it. That's the Illuminati seal emblem. The Illuminati emblem. And those words that are kind of confusing around the sides, that says, we can paraphrase that into saying, announcing the coming of the New World Order. Now, isn't that interesting? It's on our seal. This is not new stuff. This has been going on since 1776, May the 1st. I consider May the 1st, 1776, a pivot year. Pivot, why? Because the Illuminati formed on the 1st of May. The Declaration of Independence was signed on the 4th of July. And The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith was published that year. And both sides used Adam Smith's book to use economics to destroy. And he set the scene. He didn't set the scene for destroy. He just set the scene about economics. He wrote economics down. And from that information, they've pulled ways to do this. It's a significantly big book. I mean, it's huge. You know, we're talking 1,000 pages, small print, complicated economics. But that's his book. First time it was ever written down right then. Everybody knew that diamonds were valuable than sand, that emeralds were more valuable than sand. Everybody knew that before. But no one had ever written it down in a form that everybody could read. That's what Wealth of Nations is. That was published in 1776. Pivotal year. Bad guys, good guys, and the means to implement what they wanted. That's it, right there. That along with 1913, pivotal years. Anyway, these people have been planning this since then. The communist group was formed and organized by money from the United States, gold from Wall Street, organized the Russian communist regime. They paid for it. Our guys went over there to make sure the money was used right. Oh, yes, the gold went through a train. World War One was set aside for those train tracks to take that money on the train to Moscow. Everybody moved aside. The train went by. They all came back and fought again. Anyway, that's kind of how it's been done. It's all planned, guys. There's nothing here not planned. Paul Warburg was here. Max Warburg was his brother in Germany. They worked together. You know, this is all in my books, guys. There's nothing here that's not in my books. Here they go. Although I embellish it when I talk, but it's all there. Anyway, so here they go. That was organized by the Illuminati. It's Hegelistic doctrine. So they can have the bad guys and the good guys, the American people and the communist people fight against each other to slowly get everybody to socialism. That's the plan. That's what's going on. It's been going on forever. That's the pattern all the way through. They had to have the media to keep control of us, and they got that in the 20s, and they're using it. They had to have things in the Constitution that they could use to get control of us, and here it is in the 20th Amendment. They had to have depression because they can make more money with a depression than without one. So they had a depression in the 30s, and they kept that going because the stock exchange collapsed in 29. The country responded in 30, but we had to shut it down. Responded, had to shut it down. In 33, they shut it down with the bank holiday. Now they've really got it done because now they're destroying the currency, making sure that it's all done. That's all economics now. All the way through 37, the economy was coming back again. Had to shut it down again. That's what they did. You can follow these things. All the stuff that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did. Oh, you've got a book. I don't remember the title. I wish I could remember the title. There's a title of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's book, and if somebody wants it, ask me. I'll find the title. I have the book. Anyway, this particular book outlines all the stuff that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did to bring about socialism in our country, step by step. And who did he get his advice from? A Supreme Court justice called Felix Frankfurter. Who's Felix Frankfurter? A member of the international banking establishment. So through him, they fed Roosevelt what he needed. Isn't this interesting? Through House, they fed Wilson what he needed. Through Kissinger, They fed Nixon what he needed. Folks, this is how it's done. This is how it's done. Anyway, so here we go through the history of the United States, coming up, everything moving towards socialism. I call it the nose of the camel and the tent flap. Here we are going through that, and we're running out of time. Anyway, we're going through that all the way up until today. This was written in 10, tested in 12, and in effect in 20. January of 20. They talk about the new normal. The new normal will be us as slaves. We'll never be back to the old normal unless we, the people, do something. You won't even have your homes and businesses after after the election in November. You won't even have your homes and businesses because the rioters will begin to tear them down. Especially if Trump wins the election, which everybody feels he will. On that day, then they'll begin to chip away and destroy it. But the rioters will be there because they'll be out in force on the next day after the election. They'll be out in force to destroy everything they can destroy. Are we preparing for it? No, we're just sitting here watching. How many people have their militias? I know that Calaveras County in California is doing a really good job on that. Tom Watkins doing a really good job on that step. Excellent. There's some other places that are. I think there's one in Colorado. There's some in Missouri. Yeah, there's some in Missouri going on. They're doing a good job putting together things. Where else? I haven't heard of anywhere else. They've got to be. I've been trying to do it here in my area. They didn't throw me out of the room, but they didn't do anything. There's 400 people sitting here all together to do some stuff to control what the governor is doing to control Davis County, to prevent the governor from doing stuff here in Davis County. But they won't form a militia. Oh, no, we won't do that. Here we have 400 guys all sitting there trying to do something, but will not form the item to protect their area. I talked to some people around my neighborhood. Let's get together each month. Let's get together and talk in groups of, 10 people, 5 couples. Let's just enjoy each other, get together, know what's happening, and make plans. Not one person wanted to come and join with me to do that. Not one person. Are you understanding what's going on? Nobody believes anything because we've been fed through the media what we're supposed to believe, and through the education system. The education system was destroyed way back in the 40s and up. I still was in the 50s, so I got some education. Yes, I did. Most of what I know, I learned myself, though. I just hammer at books constantly and learn myself. Folks, the kids coming out of schools today know nothing. They know nothing. The teachers know nothing. They just know socialism. And go back and look at the planks. They're written in the Congressional Record, if you want. 40 planks, they're written in the Congressional Record.
1963. They were read into the Congressional Record in 1963 by Herlong, by Representative Herlong. And, all of them are...
They're all there. Now, all you got to do is look at that list. Oh, you can look at that list in the 5,000-year leap, too. It's there. Skousen put it in his book. I put it in mine. You can look at these lists. These are not hidden. You can get the Communist Manifesto and read it anytime you want. You can buy a copy anytime you want. How many have? How many are trying to find these things out? I won't ask for a raise of hands because the one hand would be lone in the wilderness. That's what's happening. We're being conditioned over and over and over by the media because we say we don't believe them, but we still listen to them. We say we don't like the House and our representatives. We say we don't like what they're doing. Congress approval got down to 11% not many months ago. 11%, maybe years. But they elect everybody again to go right back in. Why? Oh, because it's not my guy. This that guy over there, that's the bad guy. Those people in California electing Pelosi cannot possibly say, it's not my guy, it's the other guy over the street. No, they want her there for the power that she exercises. They like that power. So that district wants her to be there because she's got power. And that's why they elect her. They don't care what she uses the power for. They just care that she has power. And the people in Congress don't care what they use the power for. They just want power. And your state legislature has a lot of people with the same attitude. I don't care what I do. I just want power. You can't get rid of these people until you get people that are constitutionally minded. You can't do that unless you have people who know the Constitution. Everybody should be buying my book so they can know the Constitution. Everybody who wants to run for any office anywhere should know the Constitution so you can stand up and say it. You can say what you're for. You can say, I'm for the right number of representatives in Congress. I'm for getting the senators back under the power of the states. I'm for. You can say, you can make a list of things you're for. It can fill a whole loose leaf just by knowing what the Constitution says. That's not being done today. I'm for getting the Supreme Court out of our lives. I'm for on and on and on. On and on and on. I'm for all the land that we've been stolen, getting all of our land back. I'm for that. All the states in the West could put that in their list. It's the Constitution is full of stuff that you could all go up and say, I'm for, I'm for, I'm for. And you could have a platform that won't cease. But you got to be somewhere else too. You can't get anything done if you're in the DNR parties. They won't ever put you on the ballot. You can yell and scream till you're blue in the face. You'll never get on the ballot. But if you would join the Constitution Party, and if your neighbors would join the Constitution Party, you could elect people that are constitutionally minded. And if you don't do that, you'll never get into office to do anything about what's going on. Because the DNR parties won't let you. They won't let you in. They'll stop you. But the Constitution Party will beckon you with open arms. Please come and help us. Open arms. They want to fix this place. They've been trying to do it for a decade. They have around 120,000 members.
Out of 300 and some odd million people.
That's right. Out of a decade of trying hard to return to the Constitution, they've only found currently 120,000 out of 3.3 million. And nobody, I've been harping on this since for a year and 15 months. It hasn't made much difference. A little, but not much. You understand what I'm saying? We will not even remember till tomorrow what's being said today. I will make a statement here that you guys, I don't know if you believe it or not, but I've been watching my results on books, selling books, because I know that people need the book, and I'm sure the people out there know they need the book. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I have run statistics. I've watched it because I'm that kind of guy. If I and Doug spend a good portion of each show talking about buying the book, you will. If we don't, you won't buy any. How about that? How do I know that for sure? Doug and I were not on the media on Wednesday. We did not play on Wednesday. Since we did not play on Wednesday, I have had not one sale on Thursday or Friday. That's how I know. That's the statistics. Had I been there, we'd have had 50, 60, 70 sales, maybe even 100 during that same period, because we talked. But if I was on it and we didn't talk about selling the book, you still wouldn't buy any. We got to harp at you. So you wonder why Doug always harps about the books, because if he doesn't harp, you guys won't get them. Come on, I'm talking to a group of people here that want these things. That's the only reason you're listening to Doug Hagman. He's one of the best guys out here helping you know these things. That's why you listen to him. He's top notch. I'm tickled to death to be on his station. But you don't respond to the things he's trying to teach you the day after he's teaching you. Do you understand this? This is true, folks. This is true. And it's verified in the statistics of what we see. I can verify it every time. If I would come on and I give a significant discussion about economics, a significant lesson about how economics works, like we did not too long ago, we'll get a few sales, but not very many. But if I spend the whole day saying buy, 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 I'll sell a lot. And you guys will be fed up with me so that Doug won't invite me back if I do that. But the point I'm trying to make is you audience that want all these things, and you're listening to Doug because you want them, because you want the information, use it. Use the information he's been passing out to you. Use it.
And if they don't, and folks, and this is the other half of this, because before you came on the air, Eric and I were speaking about this, and you know, if you don't get saving the Constitution, and you don't use the book, meaning you don't read the book and apply what's in there, here's how you're going to end up using the book. If you buy it too late, you're going to be using it to balance the barrel of the AR-15 as you're shooting at the enemy coming through your door. I mean,
that's a vision.
You know, really, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny about this.
I know you're not, but it's a real vision. I've seen it in my mind.
Exactly. So, you know, we either have to change things, know how to change things, which you provide, or we're going to be changing things, or our children will be, at the barrel of a gun, either pointed at us or us pointing it at someone, or mutually. It's going to be war. And I don't know, no one wants that. So anyway, you're right. So yeah, buy the book. Buy the book. Buy the book, because you need the information. All right. Yeah.
Hey guys, I've really been harping on just one subject today, the history of how we got 20th Amendment, why it's here, and what it's for, and when it was done. And that's not the only amendment is that way. The 16th is that way, the 17th is that way, the 14th is that way, the 11th is that way, the 12th is that way. It's just on and on. But of all those I just mentioned, the only one that's legal is the 20th, because all the others changed the document. So therefore, according to law, they're not legal. But this one did not change the document. It's 100% okay. There is nothing that this particular amendment, you can nullify it for any reason whatsoever. It is absolutely right. It's like the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights, like the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights. The 20th is the same kind of amendment. It is on solid ground. But the solid ground is a terrible foundation for our nation to survive. Nonetheless, it's there. So when they start saying they're using the Constitution, they'll be exactly right. And when they say we'll take it to the Supreme Court, doesn't matter. The Supreme Court must read it the same way I do, if they're honest. They must read it the same way I do, and the Supreme Court will say, the Constitution says you can do it. Press on. Mm. Yes, it does. It says it. I've read the words. I've read the words to you today. Whether or not it would be interpreted like that, I don't know. But that's what the words say.
You know, the 20th Amendment, as you point out, again, Liberty Series, it's a great series to buy, but as you point out, it's ironic in the sense that I mentioned Norris earlier. I did some checking here. Senator George Norris was the man behind this bill, which ended up being the 20th Amendment for reasons. Well, actually, he was a progressive from a farm state, but a Republican nonetheless in name. I don't know. I kind of picture him like a Paul Ryan kind of guy, but nonetheless, the history behind this is important because you can see the intent, the use versus the intent. And I think that we are going to have a problem come election day. And I think, you know, the arsenal of weapons by the left, doctor, I got to tell you, I'm afraid that we are not going to have a normal election on November 3rd. Well, we're not going to have a normal election regardless, but this is further complicated by the law. Or the amendment to the Constitution that you're referencing.
Which is law. It is the Constitution. It is law.
It is.
Article 6 says it's the law of the land. It is the law of the land. The people passed it. The people said it's okay. The people want it. And it is correct. It's a foundation is correct. We can't nullify it in the states by saying, well, it's wrong. It isn't. Follows Black's Law Dictionary exactly. For contract law. Perfect. I did not pick it out as being against the Constitution. It is a constitutional amendment. But I did pick out what the third section says.
And this is not lost on the leftists. Glenn Beck did a series about Civil War 2.0. It was fantastic. Transition Integrity Project laid out four scenarios that really are foundations for a coup in November and for the election of 2020. That along with the group Indivisible, who back in 2017 wrote a handbook about how to take over the government, which there's implications in each one of the 20th Amendment, but neither one directly identify the 20th Amendment, but the scenarios are consistent with the 20th Amendment, if that makes sense. That makes sense? I'm not sure. So anyway.
Yeah, they can say, wordsmiths know how to say these things, Doug. Wordsmiths know how to reference something without saying what they're referencing. And everybody is sold by what they say because they're experts at it. And they know how to work the words in such a way that it sounds like socialism is the epitome of our lives. They're doing it in school all the time. Yet it's the destruction of our lives. But if we don't understand the words, I mentioned this. I was on a radio program yesterday in Hawaii. All right. For an hour. And at that point, I pointed out something that's been written by our buddy Orwell, George Orwell.
Yep.
He wrote The Animal Farm and he wrote 1984. 1984 is a prophecy of today, but he wasn't a prophet. He was writing a fiction book. It's not fiction today. He also wrote another book that's never talked about. how the politicians have changed the English language, how they've changed the language to say what they want to say while you think they're saying something else. I have a copy of that book also. And it's true. They have words. When they say one thing, when they say something, they mean something, but they don't mean the same thing you think they mean. And the thing happens in many contracts. That's why the attorney's contracts are so long and difficult to read. Oh my. So people just pass them off. If you're signing a contract that's your situation, not a general contract you can buy in the store, but if you're buying a contract that was written for your situation by the people who are going to be in charge of your situation, you better read that closely. I'll give you an example. I used to own pretzel stores. I owned 5 pretzel stores in California and here in Utah, 5 separate stores. We sold lots of pretzels. I had to sign a contract to go into every one of those malls. The malls wrote the contract. I had to abide by it. I read with a red pencil every one of those in detail. And I pointed out things I didn't like, and I got changes to things I didn't like. Because they were there for those who didn't read them. But they were also there, and the guys knew that they really shouldn't be, so they changed them. And I got lots of changes in the contracts. None of the other, well, I don't know if the other guys did or not. I did. So an illustration, when it came time for my interest rate, you know, typically they expect somebody to pay 10%, a minimum of 6, a minimum of 8, and 10% usually for space in a mall site per square foot. Okay? That's what you had to do. Well, I was renewing, and I saw this, and I went in for 4% and got it through all the way to the corporate office. 4%, you guys, is major difference, because that's how they figure the percentage on how much you got to pay them each month. If I'd have got 4%, it would have been like stealing the space. Well, I had 6% before, and they went back to 6. I was able to always keep 6. My competitors in the pretzel business had 10. Are you understanding? You read a contract that's written by your opponent, so to speak, that you're signing to agree with what the opponent says. You better know what he says. And it's all legal garbity gook. Using words you don't know mean what they don't say.
Very well stated. Dr. Richard Proctor, time is too short, but I'll tell you what, full boat next or this coming Wednesday, a lot more to talk about. But folks, in the meantime, Saving the Constitution, available at provostinstitute.com. It'll be in the program description box at Hagman Report Live. Buy the book, buy the book, buy the book, buy the book, purchase the books. How's that?
Exactly. All right. Buy the book. I said it too.
All right, brother. Talk to you.
Take care.
All right. Be right back, folks. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. We're not going to be silent. Of course, the big news overnight, President Trump, Melania, coronavirus. What's up with that? Pretty convenient, isn't it? Pretty convenient. Let's talk to Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, about this. Austin Brower is really, I'll tell you what, he is a young man that I've got a lot of respect for. He's intelligent. He has a program, a radio program with his father, Ted and Austin Brower Show, every weekday. You can hear it every weekday. Just go to healthmasters.com. Click on the link on the right-hand side of the page. It's a blue link. You'll see it. Listen to their show. Valuable information. But Austin is, and to me, he's an expert in a lot of things. By the way, healthmasters.com. Folks, you want to feel good? By the way, JFK had a doctor, little known, Dr. Max, I can't remember his last name, Dr. Max somebody. He was known as Dr. Feelgood, all right? Yeah, well, JFK was getting injected with amphetamines. I don't know if people know that, but nonetheless, not asking you to do that. Just go to healthmasters.com, check out what they've got, vitamin C, vitamin B12. Let me tell you something. I don't feel myself, if I don't take the ultimate multiple B's and C's and the vitamin protocol, the supplement protocol from Health Masters. HR5 is the coupon code.
Food buckets.
Hey, food buckets. You want a bucket of food?
Organic, too.
The organic bucket of food. Look at that. Okay, so what's cooking? Oh, by the way, Ricky, thank you. What a darling. And I'll tell you what, how you doing, Mr. Ricky? Wait until you see what we got cooking here. Wait until you see what we got cooking. We got a lot cooking. That's a coded message. All right. So we have a bucket of food. Seriously, I'm not going to screw around anymore. I like this. This is totally organic. It's back in stock. By the way, USDA fully certified organic. It's not going to be in stock for long. So take advantage of this right now while you still can. I know Eric the Tech and I are going to be doing that, just that, this evening. That's right. All right, enough of that. Austin, how are you?
Oh, blessed and highly favored, Doug. How are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. You know, the other day I was in kind of a foul mood. A lot of stuff was just going on, and I was dealing with some interesting people. And, you know, I thought about it, and I was like, listen, it doesn't matter what happens right now or in the future. The only thing we can physically control right now at this one second is pretty much our mood and our personality and the way our outlook is on stuff. But not saying that I don't get a little ill-tempered sometimes with everything that's going on, especially with this nonsense we're still dealing with down here in Florida. You know, Florida's open. They opened up Florida on Friday, right after our show. DeSantis came out, said, hey, phase three, Florida's open. Time to hang out. Time to do stuff. Full capacity. We're done.
I'm moving.
Yeah, and then we still have people wearing masks, and they don't even have to. Don't even have to anymore. Those are, no, you need to wear a mask. Listen, it's for your protection. When you're bicycling down the sidewalk by yourself, you got to wear a mask, because you never know, one of these pesky squirrels may have COVID. He may sneeze. He may travel through his particles of sneezing. You may catch it. Why are you on your bicycle? Got to wear a mask. And I'm like, oh my gosh, shut up already. And now, and you've already seen this. I called a BS on this as soon as I saw it, that now all of a sudden, randomly, Trump and Melania have COVID.
Oh, how convenient.
Oh, how convenient. How convenient. And now all the leftist communists are coming out. They're saying, well, that's because he won't wear a mask. You heard him on the debate. He won't wear a mask. Maybe that's not what he said at all. They just love to manipulate it. But I said, now this, I'm going to call BS on this right now. I don't know if he's trying to poise for something else. I don't know if they gave him a faulty test. I don't know if he's just trying to basically come back in 2 weeks. I have no idea. But I call BS on it right now. But the problem is I can't prove it because almost everybody tests positive for COVID. So he sure as heck made tested positive for actual COVID. But I find the timing to be oddly coincidental. But that's just my opinion on that, Doug.
There's nothing spontaneous, at least in my view. Nothing. What we're seeing happening is part of a larger plan. And I don't, honestly, I don't know what to make of, like this announcement that both are positive. All I know is you got, Nancy Pelosi frothing at the mouth.
Oh yeah.
Okay. For power.
The left. She's supposed to be interim president.
Right. So anyway, by any means necessary. So I look at this and I wonder, okay, is this part of that process? I don't know. Is this maybe a little bit of a shuck and jive on the part of Donald Trump? I don't know. Is this here's all I know. I know that I don't know. And that is concerning. And even if someone tells me, I have to question that because anymore, who do you trust? So anyway, and by the way, when people are so dogmatic about things, well, you know, it's this way, then that sends red flags up and signals. I just don't trust anybody. You hear things and you know what, Austin, your audience, our audience, they're intelligent enough. By the way, they're intelligent enough to buy your buckets of food. Seriously. and they're intelligent enough to know that nutritional supplements are important and good ones are very important. So they're intelligent enough to buy your product. They're also intelligent enough to know when we're being gamed, and we're being gamed every day. So, you know, I don't know, except to say, I don't know.
Oh yeah, I mean we're basically, like Ted likes to reference to, we're being treated like a bunch of mushrooms. We're kept in the dark and poop shoveled on us all day long, and we're told to like it and eat it and be happy with it. That's pretty much where we are now. And I mean, that's why I was so happy when I finally got some more of these organic buckets in. And I told everybody, I said, even if you just want to buy one or two buckets, buy a couple of them and substitute other stuff like organic beans and rice. And you know, is that way you can kind of spread your calories out. Because these buckets, I'm one of the only people I've been able to get these in stock. I'm not drop shipping them. I was literally in the back of the shop 10 minutes before you called me, helping Ruben make sure we're getting all these boxed up and shipped out. And I'm doing the best I can to get everybody fed with these. And we put, you know, a limit on them so, you know, everybody can buy a couple buckets for each family. But, you know, we had a lot of people coming in trying to buy out huge amounts of them because nobody can get them. A lot of stores have them. And they're still charging, you know, shipping, and they're saying, oh, you can have them in 2 to 3 weeks, or we're going to drop ship them. I'm telling you right now, the food market, not just the storable food market, but the entire food industry is having a serious issue right now because there were so many delays and so much issues and the price continually going up. I started carrying these buckets last fall when we finally first got our first batch of them. I've had 3 price increases now since then. Almost every time I get another big batch, I get another price increase. They told me, they said, dude, the raw material's going through the roof. They said, every time we order everything in raw, it's going through the roof. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, I'm hearing that all across the industry as far as in the food market. And so it's got the Chipotle chili. It's got the pasta primavera, which I actually made the other night, which is good. The white cheddar broccoli, oatmeal. And it's about 20,000 calories per bucket, little under that, 19,500 calories per bucket. Fully certified USDA organic. I ate it the other day. I felt great with it. I'm very sensitive to a lot of GMO food, glyphosate, and so forth. So I'm very picky. And that's why I told some people, I said, listen, if you're not trying, you know, if you're on a budget, you're trying to keep things tight, go buy some organic beans and rice. Store some of those as well. And then buy these as basically an entree, you know, addition on top of it. So you can make some pasta primavera with beans and rice. So you can keep your calories where they need to be. And then add in some really good flavor on top of it, because people got to remember caloric intake is where it comes down to when you start having survival situations. And I've continued to be preaching a lot of my friends and a lot of people around here is being prepared is the most self-sufficient thing we can do right now for what's about to happen in the future. We don't, I mean, it's going to get squirrely next couple of weeks. You already know that. Like you said, you got Pelosi now trying to talk about being the interim president. You know, if they can't figure out what's going on with it. So they're also talking about the aspects of, you know, if Trump wins, it's because he cheated. If Biden wins, it's because he cheated. And what it is, and I watched the debate the other day begrudgingly, but I dealt with it because I want to be able to talk on it. And the whole thing, what I took out of it was chaos. They're trying to promote chaos. They're trying to promote as much instability, as much chaos, and to try to make sure that there is no unification. Nobody's unified. They want everybody to be going at each other all the time. And I saw an article yesterday that came out from the fake news CNN, except this is something that they were aggressively pushing. And Paul Joseph Watson wrote on it as well. And, you know, because I've been talking to everybody down here in Florida, I'm like, listen, I said, we already know per the CDC that under the age of 70, this thing doesn't really even constitute a pandemic anymore. The numbers aren't, they're not even there, especially under the age of 20. It's a joke. I mean, you basically have the same mortality rate as a common cold. But yet people are still having this meltdown where I go to Publix and people are still running around wearing masks everywhere inside. People wearing masks in their cars. I'm like, listen, the governor down here, our Florida governor, is getting eviscerated in the mainstream media. I mean, they're calling him every name in the book, every single phrase you could possibly come up with, because he opened up the state because he had enough. Florida's based on, you know, tourism. And this whole, we're only going to have 50% of our restaurant, and you have to wear a mask while you walk to your table 15 feet, and then you can take it off for the rest of the night. It's draconian, but it's asinine at best. And CNN came out with this article, and I want to bring this up because I'm letting you know, this is where they're taking this. There is no end to the mask as far as what they're trying to promote. This is what I have been complaining and yelling and screaming from the rooftops for months. I said, the mask to most people is nothing. Okay, I'm just going to put on a mask. To me, it's gross compliance for something that makes no sense. I've always been a very critical thinker. I like to understand how things work. How does this diesel engine operate? I don't know. Let's tear it apart. How does this fuel system work? I don't know. Let's tear it apart and figure it out. Broken a lot of things. I fixed a lot of things because didn't know what I was doing, but I figured it out at the end, and now I know how to do it. Well, that was my question with this from the very beginning. Okay, why are we being told at the beginning, don't wear masks, don't buy masks, only medical people need them that are dealing in the ward, you know, with COVID ward. But now, all of a sudden, everybody has to wear masks to the point we're arresting people. You saw that in Moscow, Idaho. People were outside having like a prayer hymn music ceremony. They were not standing on their circles that were designated and not wearing masks. They're arrested. They're on video, getting handcuffed, dragged off. It's happening repeatedly now. Hawaii's been doing it. I mean, it's all over the place. People are getting arrested for not wearing masks. And then CNN comes out with this ridiculous article, and they say people need to accept that things are never getting back to normal. The piece is titled, "There Is No Getting Back to Normal." That's actually the name of it. And that face masks are going to be permanent. The editor was Nick Patton Walsh, and he writes, "Things are most likely never going back to normal." Now, you have to ask yourself a question. Why are they making statements like this when we already know the CDC's come out with the numbers? Because this was never about a virus. This was about ushering in a 2020 New World Order. This was the goal. We talked about it for years with the United Nations. 2020 was the main goal, the UN 2020 agenda. They talked about it for two decades. The next one is the Agenda 2030. And so this was bringing in and coming in and taking away people's identity, taking away your ability to communicate, taking away your ability to travel freely, arresting you for not following orders, kicking you out of stores and restaurants for not complying with a mask. And as I said before, Doug, people that are well-versed in this already know the satanic background and the ritualistic background of making people wear a mask when they go into these ceremonies. It's because it takes away the identity of the person. It takes away the singularity that goes, I am me. I am Austin. This is who I am. Can't see anymore. You see your eyes. That's why it's very common in those things. They always make them wear masks. Same thing with the movie Eyes Wide Shut. I don't recommend it unless you watch it edited, but it's very big, and it shows you in the Babylonian rituals where they all wear masks. This is exactly what this came down to, and I started realizing it after the first month or two, and I was realizing, they're okay. The mask is doing nothing. The research shows the masks do nothing. The scientists that are grossly lying and saying it does something are sitting there and just trying to come up with facts out of their butt. There is no scientific evidence that a paper mask or a gator that you wear to go fishing protects you from inhalation of viral particles. There's none. But yet they continue to tell us that has to be the way it is. And it goes on to say here, it says the pre-corona world is now a mere nostalgia and the public needs to come to terms with it. Along with other social distancing measures, Wall says that mandatory wearing of masks will become permanent and a part of life. He says that those who refuse to wear masks may be guilty of normalcy bias since they perceive the intrusion into lives as a passing fad that doesn't need to be embraced. Absolutely right. It's not normalcy bias. It's calling out bullcrap when it's that. It goes on to say here, and we've talked about this repeatedly, you can go throughout history and see that face masks and muzzles have always been a way as to further conformity on a population whose identity and individuality is increasingly being erased. This is what Paul Joseph Watson said, and he's completely accurate about it, because the restrictions on our liberties and our right to travel and these face masks were something that were totally temporary to begin with. They told us repeatedly, it's temporary, it's temporary, it's temporary, it's flatten the curve, wear a mask to flatten the curve. That's been my question that I've asked people for months now. I said, when do we not wear a mask anymore? When is the date? When is the goalpost? When is the specific amount of people that are infected with COVID? What at a certain point in time do we have as a goal to where we're not wearing masks? And there is no answer to that. It's open-ended because they're not planning on allowing people to go freely on their way without wearing a mask anymore. So until people start standing up and start complying and capitulating with this, this is what I said 3 months ago. I said, mask is the enemy 1,000 meters out, and you're engaging them long range. What's coming next is going to be way more difficult to say no to than a doggone mask. And then this article, I talked about it the other day, I had the article that I talked about all the different side effects that have been going on with this RNA vaccine. Now, Moderna and Pfizer, MSNBC reported on it about individuals that are having pretty nasty side effects, including high fever, body aches, headaches, exhaustion. One individual woke up with such bad chills, he cracked a tooth. And it goes on to talk about repeated issues as far as, oh, this guy got this shot on the 18th. He was sick for multiple days. He got a follow-up shot on September 15th. He basically went into fever, 101 fever, shakes and chills all night, didn't sleep, pounding headaches, shortness of breath. And goes to talk about horrible injection site, pain injection site. And, then he came out of it and he's okay now. You know, as of a week ago, he's okay now. Well, then they're telling us now that you're going to have to get a booster shot every couple months to basically stay immune to this COVID. So what, every couple months, you're going to have to get unbelievably sick and viral out and go through these, you know, withdrawals and have, you know, fever and nausea and can't sleep and shaking all night long for days on end because that's the new normal? That's pretty much what they're telling us, Doug. MSNBC is blatantly telling us this is the side effects. But then some of the participants go, but it was worth it now because I'm immune to COVID. Yeah. But now they're saying that this isn't going to make you immune to COVID. It's only going to do a few months of protection and you're going to need the booster again. So where is the line drawn, Doug? Where do we say no? How far do we keep just allowing this a lie, this blatant lie now, to keep slapping us in the face before we call it a lie? I guess that's the million-dollar question I'm asking everybody, including your listeners.
I asked the same question, and I asked the same question. What you know? Where is that line? I got a. I'll show you this. I got a swag bag, if you will. I'll spare people the circumstances, but in this array of items in this swag bag, I got this. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is somebody's G-string. You know, I looked at this and it's almost like a silky, and then of course, you know, you realize it's a mask, right? And as if this face diaper, this piece of underwear is going to protect you. And I started looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, I thought about Eyes Wide Shut too. I thought about the identity aspect of this too. And I'll tell you something to answer your question. This is the line right here. If this, if Austin, if this is not the line for us,
yeah,
then the line is going to be awful bloody.
Oh, 100%, Doug. That's well said. Because I mean, where do we keep allowing our identity? Because people, I'm getting so sick of people constantly saying, Austin, it's just a mask. It's just a mask. Just do it. Just do what? Cover my face like I'm a Muslim? Like I'm a Muslim female?
It's just a hijab.
I said that to somebody the other day, and I said, cover my face like I'm a Muslim female. They said, excuse me? I said, I didn't stutter. I said, you ever been over in the Middle East? I have. They do that all the women over there. You got to cover your face. You get beat to death sometimes. You don't cover your face. It's an act of submission. It's an act of you do this because we tell you to do it. You do not need to let anybody see your face. Okay? I don't remember Jesus ever discussing you need to cover your face. I don't ever remember him at any point in time referencing to covering his face. We're made in the image of God Almighty. Why do we have to cover up our face? Why do we have to recirculate our air? Why do we have to reduce our CO2? They've already done numerous studies on that. When you're exercising and doing stuff outside with mask on, it massively decreases your oxygen level, your O2 level in your blood. That's been proven for years. I mean, if you have to do it for a biological threat and you're in Iraq, I got it. There's certain things you have to do. If you're a doctor and you're performing open heart surgery and you want to make sure you don't have any saliva go into an open wound, contaminated area, you wear a mask. There's certain reasons you do this. Walking around outside or walking into a store or going into a restaurant is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. People will sit there at a table for 2 hours, laugh and talk and drink and eat and be merry. But they got to put the mask on to walk 10 feet to the front door before they walk out there. If that's not control, submission, and training like a dog, I don't know what is, Doug. I really don't know what it is. I've literally watched people do it. I've sat because, I, like I said, I've gotten kicked out. I don't even know how many restaurants I've been kicked out of. I try to go out and make reservations. They kick me out.
You're my hero, by the way. I want to get kicked out of as many restaurants as you.
It's not fun.
No, I know. But seriously, what's the alternative? But go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll sit there and I'll be watching people. People will get out of their car, they'll put on their mask, they'll get their little diaper fitted on their face, nice and fitted, so they have a nice little face diaper. They'll walk into the restaurant, they'll get seated by the server with a table, boop, they'll walk their 10, 15, 20 feet, they'll sit down, and they'll take their mask off, and they'll sit there for an hour, 2 hours and eat.
Yep.
And my question is that, okay, if you're really doing this to prevent a viral infection, you just put on a mask outside. So now anything that's on that mask, you're now breathing in. Now you just walk into the restaurant. You're allegedly protected by the mask, right? So you're protecting yourself by the mask. It's outside. Say it's clean. It's not contaminated. Even though nobody washed these things, it's disgusting. You now walked inside past really nobody, and you're sitting there. And now you take the mask off, and now you're breathing the same air that all these other people are sitting at, all these tables all around you. But now you're magically, corona can't get you because you're at a table now. You're not standing. If you stand, you get corona. Same thing like they did in Miami. Bars got to close at 10 o'clock. Okay, that's fine. So can't do it. Music can't be too loud. Oh, of course. Don't want to have music too loud. We know if music is too loud, it makes corona aggressive. And people go, oh, well, it's so you can talk to one another through masks. If the music's too loud, nobody can understand you. I said, how about you just take the mask off? You're sitting there dancing with somebody back and forth all over them in the club in Miami. And now all of a sudden, you're miraculously going to be protected because you have a cloth over your face. The virus, almost everybody's already contracted. That's a news flash. Everybody's either been exposed to it, they've already contracted it, or they're going to get it. We've seen that now with the people that have tested positive for it and have been asymptomatic and have had issues. We've seen the research showing that vitamin D massively decreases your chance of any health issues if you get COVID. We've seen the intravenous vitamin C IV in studies had a 100% success recovery rate in COVID patients in two studies in China and another one they did up in New York. Those are on our website at healthmasters.com. You can look at them. So if we know that vitamin C and D3 are two crucial nutrients that are very, very important to the immune system, which this isn't new for 2020, decades and decades and decades of research been done on this, then how about we hike up our vitamin C, we hike up our D3, we use wisdom if somebody's sick, like if you have a cold or you're feeling sick, stay at home, don't run around outside, and we live our lives like we normally have in this country for a very long time. But see, that's not the point. You can have all types of legitimate rebuttals, all types of arguments that constantly fall in favor of keeping people free. But that's not the point of this, and that's what we see now. The whole point, now we're starting to see this aspect with what's going on with the Postal Service, with these ballots now, these mail-in ballots. And I didn't know this the other day until I read about it. You know, this has never really been done in history that we've extended mail-in ballots this far out. Wisconsin, the U.S. Federal Appeals Court just upheld a ruling allowing Wisconsin's ballots in the November election to be counted if they arrive up to 6 days after the election. If the ballots are postmarked by November 3rd, they'll be accepted and counted as long as they arrive by November 9th. And I was like, that's pretty weird. Oh, it gets way worse. They said as of Tuesday, about 1.2 million ballots have been requested in Wisconsin, and only 300,000 have been returned. 18 other U.S. states have now allowed ballots to be counted, even if they arrive in the mail after Election Day, with three of those states allowing until November 13th for the ballots to arrive in the mail. Illinois allows up until November 17th, while California has the latest deadline of November 20th. Louisiana is the only U.S. state that requires absentee ballots to be received by the day before the election. So in reality, this whole thing can drag out to November 20th if they really want to make a spectacle out of it. And the truth is, and I've said this already, Trump is it doesn't matter if Trump wins. It doesn't matter if Biden wins. The outcome is pretty much going to be the same. The only thing that irritates me is that I never want to witness and sit by and watch a United States presidential election be fully manipulated, cheated, to go to the highest communist bidder and then tell me it's what it is, that's the way it is, and that's just the way it's going to be. I can't sit by and let that happen. If Trump gets elected, they're going to say Trump cheated and the communists are going to flip out. They're going to try to go rioting again. We already know that. If Biden wins, which it'll probably be a full-blown, you know, fraud, even if he does, Trump's going to have a fit about it, and we're going to have this giant conniption fit. That's going to be what happens, either which way. We already know it's going to happen. There was a poll that came out. The poll was documented by Paul Baird by Washington Secrets column as assessment from Sports and Leisure Research Group and ROKK Solutions, R-O-K-K. It said the polling said 61% believe the U.S. is nearing a second civil war, 41% strongly agree, and 52% are so convinced it's just around the corner after Election Day they're putting away food and other essentials. That means the United States populace is actually starting to wake up for the most part, yet it still troubles me that most people are so scared of their own shadow they're willing to put a mask on just to walk outside for fear of contracting a virus that majority of the time you're asymptomatic with. I mean, where do we go from here, Doug? I mean, what do we start doing right now? I mean, how far along? I mean, I guess we just sit back and kind of stay prep, stand by and stand back for the time being?
No. And I think that we are going to have to come to grips. I think people are going to have to come to grips that action is going to be required. Regardless, it doesn't, like you said, I mean, and I said this the same way. I said the same thing. It doesn't matter what happens on November 3rd. What matters is what we do in response to what they say is happening on November 3rd. So the way I see it, in fact, back in 2017, the group Indivisible wrote a paper, A Practical Guide for Resisting the Trump Agenda. Now, you could put any name in there, resisting the conservative agenda if you want. You could put in resisting the capitalistic agenda. That's what really they're talking about. They're talking about full-blown socialism, communism, actually communism. This is written by congressional staffers. Thank you very much. I was looking at the paper here. The reason I said this is because what you said, we can't, or, you know, are we going to, you can't sit back and watch a full communist, blown takeover of the country. I can't either. I think what we do is going to define this country and define who we are as people. I don't know how else to say that. I know you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, and I've seen so many people say, well, you know, we're not appointed to fight, or we shouldn't fight, or we shouldn't advocate fighting. You know, it's not, this is bigger than a, you know, slap fest at a playground. This is over the future of our country, or the freedom, the rights bestowed upon us by God to each and every one of us. Are we gonna watch them get pissed away? Are we gonna allow our children to live in bondage, or are we gonna do something about this? And by God, I'll do something about this. I mean, I'll tell you what. Look, Austin, and people might say, well, those are fighting words. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. You want to fight? You gonna bring me a fight? You got one. You're going to get one. Might not win.
Well, that's my thing that I've been having a lot of discussions about with people is, I'm like, where is this going to go? Are we going to look back on our lives in 10 or 20 years and say, man, wow, we really had a great country then. It really sucks now, and we did nothing about it. I can't live with that. I can't live with that. I can't psychologically deal with that and say that I never did anything about it. I never stood my ground. And that's why I've gone so overt about a lot of stuff now and done so many shows and trying to get the information out. So listen, if you want to walk around with a face diaper outside, this is a free country. Be my guest. Wear a face diaper in and out as much as you want. I could care less. But don't sit there out of the same mouth and complain about government tyranny and there's nothing you can do about it and it just is what it is and we're all just going to have to accept it as a new normal because there's an all-powerful, all-seeing globalist banker hand that's trying to overthrow the United States of America and rid of our constitutional republic and install a communist government and there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah, there is. First thing you do is take the face diaper off. Start acting like a grown adult male. Start acting like a grown Christian female. Start standing your ground on your own convictions. If you're convicted about something, are you that easily compromised that somebody simply says, hey, wear a mask? Oh, okay, whoa. I don't want any conflict about a mask. Let me put it on. This was, in my opinion, obviously it was multifaceted is what it was. But my opinion, and I've said this from the beginning, I said one of the biggest things about the mask was it was to break the will of the United States populace. It broke the back. It broke the will. It constantly said, hey, no. Listen here, peasant. You can't walk in there. You got to put a mask on. And people were like, at first, people were real hesitant. A lot of people wouldn't do it. Most people said, no, I'm not going to wear a mask. And now look, almost everywhere you go, people wear a mask. All you see are their eyes. No facial expressions. No identity. I said on our show today, I said, I've had numerous people. I'm like in Lowe's. People walk up to me. They got a mask. Go, hey, Austin. I'm like looking around like, huh? Hey, do I know you? Oh, they take it off. Hey. Like they're hiding, like, oh, I don't want anybody to see me with a mask off. I'm like, dude, please take off your mask. I can't understand you. Please.
Exactly.
Please. This conversation is going nowhere. And again, it stopped people from communicating as well. It also transferred over almost all forms of electronic communication as far as into phones. Nobody talks anymore in person. Go to the store next time and watch people have conversations in the middle of the store. They don't. A lot of times you go to Publix, you go to supermarkets, you'd see moms and stuff in there. They'd have their shopping carts together, hanging out, talking, 10, 15 minutes in an aisle, catching up. I haven't seen that at all anymore, Doug.
That's a good point. None of it.
Nobody talks anymore. Can't go to the bar. Can't go to a restaurant and talk. You can't have a table with more than a couple people at it. Granted, like I said, down here in Florida, I'm a bit spoiled now. We've opened back up on Friday, so I'm starting to feel like it's kind of a big deal down here to live in Florida. I'm kidding. But it has been nice. The first thing we did last weekend is I went out. There was a big truck event that I was helping promo out in Tampa. And we went out there and they said, dude, we're 100% capacity. We just opened up. And I said, boom. And it was packed. One of the biggest shows we've had in a while. just because it was like, okay, everybody's here. Next night, I went out to my wife out to downtown Lakeland for dinner, restaurant. You know, they had a mask. They had a sign still on them because there's still a city ordinance apparently in Lakeland that a lot of people are still abiding to, but now a lot of people don't care. And it said, you know, masks are required. And I walked into the hostess. I said, hey, I'm here to eat. I'm here to spend money. I want to relax. I want to enjoy myself. I said, I don't see anybody in here with a mask. She goes, there's still a city ordinance, but the governor said you don't have to wear one. Do as you wish. If you want to wear one, wear one. If you don't, you don't. And I said, ah, I like you. You're my friend. Let's eat. And we hung out. Not a good time. I actually had a blast of a time. And it was fantastic. And so I started to see a remnant of Florida starting to wake back up. But again, we got to start keep waking people up because the media now is trying to use, again, the whole thing with Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't wear a mask. You heard him in the debate. Now he's got COVID. Hoorah, rah. They're going to keep pushing the narrative. They're going to keep pushing the narrative. They're going to push it and push it and push it and push it because they have to keep people subdued and they have to keep the back broken of the American populace. They do not want our will there anymore. They don't want our identity. They don't want our American patriotism passion to stand there. They want us to hide in the corner, put on a mask, grab some food, walk out at the store, don't talk to anybody. So again, I encourage everybody, wake up and stand your ground with what's going on with this because there's no doubt about it. There's something, if we don't stand our ground with this, it's just going to escalate. That's what people don't realize. Well, this will be over soon. No, it's not. It's not going to be over soon. There's another article that came out. Yeah, from one of the professors in the UK who is a big funder of the pro-abortion Rockefeller Foundation, who's now claiming governments in the future might have to do things different with capitalism because of global warming and climate change. He said, as the face of the potential radical climate lockdown in the near future, we may need to resort to lockdowns again, this time to tackle climate emergency. That was his quote. He said, under climate lockdowns, government could limit private vehicle use as a way, as well as ban consumption of red meat in order to reduce climate change. They could also force extreme energy saving measures while fossil fuel companies would have to stop drilling. In order to avoid this entire scenario, we must massively overhaul our economic structure and do capitalism completely different, but we still may need to implement some of these rules. So as you see, COVID's nothing compared to this. The COVID is a warm-up session. It's a warm-up session. They're stretching out right now. They're getting warmed up. They're doing a warm-up set on bench press. They're saying, hey, we're going to see what everybody's going to tolerate. We're going to see how far we push this. Because if they can keep pushing it into next year now, and they keep saying, hey, guess what? Now, you basically you can't wear a mask. You got to wear a mask now. You can't go out without a mask on because you got to limit the amount of air that you're breathing, you know. And we have to limit the amount of vehicles that are being driven. I mean, look at the traffic, how much it decreased in the last 6 months. Significantly. It was crazy. After last Friday, the one downfall of having the state back open is traffic's going to crap back down here in Florida. Because everybody's out and about now, but to all the sins. Everybody, if that's your life, you're paying for your own vehicle, and it's America, man. If you want to travel freely, unmolested on your way, that is your right to do so. So, again, I just encourage everybody. Get self-sufficient right now. If I can encourage everybody with that, make sure you're staying in shape, staying healthy, keeping regular exercise, exercise outside if you need to, continue to take some supplements, at least the vitamin C, the vitamin D, the B vitamins, the multiple. Keep your immune system strong. Keep making sure that you have a huge, huge degree of people that you can count on. I've tried to expand a lot of people I know, you know, people that I know that are awake, that are aware, that are prepped. And no, because, you know, as a community, being able to band together is a huge, huge, huge positive, especially if stuff starts going sideways in the next 4 to 5 weeks, Doug.
I mean, I agree with you. And I hear from a lot of mostly women who are alone, and there's a bit of fear only because they've got no one, you know. So to them, I encourage look, I encourage everyone, seriously, if you're listening to my voice, this is not a sales pitch for nutritional supplements, but my goodness, you better be taking them because you're going to need them given the deficiency in nutrients from our food to what we know, to what we experience every day. So please get the best, and that's healthmasters.com. I'm telling you, they're the best. As a matter of fact, I don't think I told you this, but my wife was prescribed synthetic vitamin D supplement. Does that sound right to you?
Okay. A lot of times if the doctor actually tests for vitamin D, which is rare, they'll actually give them a prescription for vitamin D, and it's usually a fully synthesized vitamin D. It's not based off lanolin, which is sheep's wool, which that's pharmaceutical company right there for you.
So
that's pharma.
Yeah. Now what the doctor did, and this is over the course now, this is, I think, month 7 or 8. It's been a long time, but for the first 2 months, it was 2 months after she got the prescription, she was tested, her vitamin D levels were tested, and they were still pretty, pretty low. So I don't know, the doctor had said, okay, you need to, why don't you take one in the morning, one at night, the doctor adjusted her dosage. So instead of doing that, we went to your vitamin D, the nutritional supplement that you carry, and took it as your dad said to take it, which was consistent with the instructions on the bottle. And it would be 2 months after that she got her vitamin D levels tested, tossed the synthetic away, and her vitamin D levels were above normal. So I want to make sure I did that very systematically, so people know that there's a big difference in what you take. And when I saw that, I was ecstatic for my wife. But I also was thankful for your product because it works. And it works. And I would say that to everyone about my experience with the other supplements that you sell. So please, if you're concerned about, you better be concerned about your health, because that's all we got. So please order from Health Masters. Hopefully I didn't butcher that too bad, but you got my idea, right? I mean,
I think everybody did, Doug. I mean, that was still an excellent analysis of how your wife was able to get her vitamin D blood three, her D3 blood levels up. Because it's crucial. I've told her about this story before when Lana was pregnant. This is why I first really learned about it, when she was pregnant with our first son, Hunter. We went to a midwife. Both pregnancies were through a midwife, but I didn't want to go to the hospital, neither did she. So we went through a midwife, real naturally minded. And so they drew bloods on her every single month. Now, it's ironic is when you go to a doctor and you're basically pregnant, they very rarely check your D3 levels, which is crazy because the midwives were the complete opposite. They want to check it every single month. That was one of the main things they want to check. They said, listen, it's a D3 is crucial for brain development, crucial for so many aspects of this baby as you're building it in your body. D3 has to be at a healthy range. And when she first got her D3 levels, you know, the baby, a lot of people don't realize the baby is sucking all kinds of nutrients out of the mother. So if the mother is already a little low or just in the average range of certain nutrients like that, the baby's going to suck it out of her. This is why you see a lot of the issues with postpartum depression. Because the baby sucks up so many nutrients, so much omega-3, so much D3. When the baby's born, all of a sudden the placenta's gone and everything's gone and everything's over with, you know, and the news worn off, so to speak, and you're starting to come down and you're having the baby now, and all of a sudden you're super lacking in those nutrients. That's why I always tell a lot of the pregnant ladies that I've worked with, you got to take the prenatals after you have the baby too. You don't just stop once you have the baby. Not only, especially if you're breastfeeding, which I hope most of the women are that are listening, because breastfeeding is super important, is that those nutrients, A, are going to the baby through the breast milk, but now that you're breastfeeding, you're having to keep your nutrient levels that much higher as well, because now you're feeding the baby and you have to replenish your nutrients in your own body along with making milk for the baby. So it's very, very crucial you keep those levels up. And D3 is just so important. I never understood it until I looked at it and really researched it when Lana was pregnant. And I started talking to the midwives all the time. I mean, I knew it was important. And then we saw her levels, they were low. So I started hammering down to the point she's taking 20,000 IUs of D3 every single day during both pregnancies to keep them in a healthy range. And that just shows you how much D3 the body takes and how much the baby takes. So, yeah, it's actually on product of the week right now, ironically. That's what it got brought up. It's on sale. Our voters, we have listeners, customers, everybody. You can go on the website, you can vote for products on the front page. And whichever one wins, Every Wednesday, we update it to Product of the Week, and D3 won by a landslide. I think it's because basically that new article that came out with from Dr. Michael Hollick that I talked about, professor of medicine from Boston University in the published in the Public Library of Scientific One. It was a peer-reviewed journal discussing how there's a 50% higher COVID or less chance you're going to catch COVID if you have healthy D3 levels, and also a very, very high recovery rate with low symptoms if you catch D3, if you have healthy to high levels of D3 in the blood. And he's a master at D3. I mean, the man is brilliant. I've read a lot of his research. And so it's one of those things to where you realize, okay, there's certain things that God put out in the environment that are really beneficial for us. The problem is we get very few amounts of them now in this current day and age with the food we eat. And that's why we switched over as well to the organic food. I've had a lot of storable food in the past. Some of it was pretty clean. A lot of those still had little fillers and stuff that I didn't like. So when I had the ability to find something like certified organic USDA food, I'm very picky about the food I eat. Now, not everybody's the same way. Not everybody has to be. Everybody has their own, you know, guidelines they go by, their own convictions they go by. But to me, you know, if I'm going to be in a situation where I know I'm eating this stuff, I want to be able to, if something doesn't really go sideways and we still have food stored, it will save me money in the future. So I'd go in and say, hey, you know what? We don't need to go to Publix this week. We're going to pump out some pasta primavera, and I basically have some, chicken in the freezer that's frozen. We'll thaw that out. We'll make some dinner. Got some beans and rice. We'll make some of that. We'll throw a little bit of some of the fresh organic cheese we have on it and make dinner that way. So you can always eat it. A lot of these foods that I bought with MREs in the past, granted, they're great if you're out in the field.
Yeah.
Golly, man, there's loaded preservatives, MSG, hydrogenated oil, soy, everything that make your stomach hurt. They make you constipated. You don't feel good on them. And like I said, if that's all you have to eat, that's all you have to eat. I'm not knocking people. I would much rather you have stored MREs and have no food at all. Let me clarify that. But if you have the ability to have some of that and you have some organic food that you can really maintain and you have some backup food, to me, that's always what I like to have, is a variety of different stuff, because I'm telling you right now, the more self-sufficient that everybody is, the better off we're going to be, because you're not going to be able to go to the store. You can think about it. You saw all these riots. I talked to people that were some of these cities that were going nightmarish. I mean, just full-blown lunatic rioting. Dude, you couldn't really go to any stores in your neighborhood or your area. People were having to like flee out of the city and go to like the next town to go get groceries. Yep. When you got people in the middle of the street every night at 5-6 o'clock throwing Molotov cocktails, roadblocking, burning down McDonald's and burning down Advanced Auto Parts and pushing their way to neighborhoods, the last thing you really want to be doing is, hey, let's go to the grocery store quick and go buy some dinner. You're like, I don't even want to be at my house right now. If I got to leave, I got to leave, much less leave and go to basically the store. You want to have the ability to have an all-encompass facility where you can eat, drink, stay prepared, and secure that facility down, because that's one of the first rules anybody's told me that's been in scenarios like that. Especially, I knew a guy from the Soviet Union. I talked to him years ago, and he said, dude, the biggest thing you didn't want to do was go into the city to go shopping or buy stuff. You could go in there, and you could go basically try to barter and do stuff when this area started falling. He said, but it was nightmarish. He said, you didn't want to go anywhere. He said, everybody that was out in the woods, that was out in the fields, that was out in the rural areas, that had their own areas, that was the best place to be. Granted, those went sideways too because of the communist regime. But it at least gave you a little bit of buffer room, so you know what's coming before it gets to you. Instead of being like, oh, well, let's go to the store tonight. You go to the store, you end up getting an active gunfight, and now you're in jail or worse because you had to go buy some, you know, beans and rice because you ran out of food after 2 days. I grew up in Florida, dealt with numerous hurricanes my whole life, been without power weeks on end before. Being self-sufficient is just a way of life it is in Florida. And the more people start to understand that and start to take up that same type of mindset and stop blaming everybody else for them not being prepared and them not being healthy and them not being able to do things, you take responsibility for your own actions. It's always how I grew up. You make a mistake, you own it. You win, you own it. But don't sit around and blame everybody else because you're too inept and stupid to get prepared. I'm not calling anybody stupid. What I'm saying is a lot of people right now are still living in this fantasy that everything's going to start getting better. If I told everybody last year that we were going to shut down this entire country for a month, and then after that we were going to indefinitely tell people they had to wear a face mask just to go to the store and walk outside on a day-to-day basis, people probably wouldn't even believe us, Doug, if we told people that right now. You tell people that a year ago, they'd be like, ah, yes, that's a funny joke. What movie are you watching now?
But yeah.
Here we are. Here we are now in 2020, and it's reality.
Well, I wonder if we have that opportunity. I'm going to toss this out to you because I want to hear what your answer would be. If we have this opportunity to be here 6 months from now, so that would be, would be April. Okay. We'll say the mid-April, April 15th. Looking back on the last 6 months, I mean, what you just said, apply what you just said to 6 months in the future. In other words, you know, if we were talking 6 months in the future, if I would have told you 6 months ago that, and then, you know, so I mean, what would you expect?
Dan, what I'm expecting now, you know, we kind of have two roads in front of us right now, Doug. We're at a very, you know, particular set of crossroads, but I think they're both going to align very similarly. If we stand our ground now and start demanding that this country reopen, and we stop locking ourselves in our house and putting on a face mask for a cold-like virus, and we start waking up, and everybody says no. See, the problem is that a lot of people have found, or they don't realize, is that our populace is much larger than people realize in order to be controlled. If you start having huge swaths of people come in and say, no, we're not going to do that. If you start having people come in and say, no, if you're going to kick me out of your restaurant for not wearing a mask, I'm just not going to go here, and none of my friends are going to go here, and none of my family's going to go here, and everybody I know on my radio show are not going to go here, and you guys are going to lose 10% of your revenue just by kicking me out. They'd go, whoa, hold on. Let's not escalate things. If we start doing that, we could probably wake America back up. But as long as people keep going down this road we're on right now and nobody stands their ground and everybody capitulates like little peasants, like we're in medieval times now, and the king saying, you must wear a mask. Do not look at me. Do not speak until spoken to. And everybody goes, yes, master. Okay, I'll go back and do my thing. Everybody keeps acting like we're doing now. I think by mid next year, between middle of 2019 and by middle of 2021, I don't think you would recognize this country anymore. I think you would say, what the heck happened? You pulled a Back to Future card and missed it by 2 years. You'd go, what just happened here? And it's kind of like that movie Back to the Future where, you know, he gets that book. That guy gets that book where he goes back and bets on all the stuff and they end up hitting it and it messes up. And all of a sudden this guy like owns the whole city and it's chaos and there's looting and shooting and there's all this violence and he has this huge casino downtown. Yep. I personally think that movie had a lot of very subliminal stuff. And if you ever watched some of the stuff in it, but I think that's exactly where this is going to kind of head. If we don't stand our ground on this right now and we don't make a stand and unify as American patriots and start saying, hey, we all have to get on the same page here. The same thing happens in the fall in 4 weeks. If it starts to escalate and people start getting violent, I've been very proud of a lot of people in some communities. They've stood their ground, but you're going to have to do it. Everybody's going to have to do it. People have to stop being scared of getting in a conflict. That's one thing about America now, especially United States males in this day and age, millennials, even in my generation, especially Generation X, they don't want to have conflict. There's like no conflict. There's an issue. We just walk away. We just bow our heads down and step out. We have to be ready and mentally and physically equipped to engage in active conflict. Jesus was so mad at the Jewish money changers, he came in and whipped out the entire temple and flipped the tables over. That was pretty significant conflict, Doug. If anybody doesn't think it is, you really got to check your definition of conflict. He wasn't scared of conflict. Now, he was very, very humble and very, very helping and unbelievably nice, much more than obviously any person's ever been because he was the Son of God. But that was significant conflict. That wasn't one of those, hey, you know what? Like, I want to go make a whip. I want to knock the tables over. I want to throw money everywhere. And I want to drive these people out because they're a den of vipers. And they've turned the temple basically into a den of thieves. That was pretty gutsy to go do by himself. We have to start taking that standpoint when we know something is unbiblical, when we know something's unconstitutional, when we know it's going to make things even worse. We have to be ready for conflict at any and all costs. And that's the mental preparation America that are patriots has to start understanding and waking up with right now, Doug.
Amen. I totally agree with you. You know, it's been a wonderful segment with you. We only have a couple of minutes left. I've got two questions. One relates to the food bucket. One bucket serves how many for how long?
I have gone over this with a lot of different people. There's a lot of buckets out there that say, okay, well, this person serves this person for this right. long. On average, an adult male, one bucket is going to last you, eating every day like a normal person, is going to last you about 2 weeks.
Okay.
So two buckets would last a grown adult about 1 month. It's about 20,000 calories per bucket. Now, I encourage people to do your research on this. There's a lot of companies out there that massively fabricate this, and they say, oh, one bucket will last four people for 4 weeks. And you look at the numbers on it, and it basically means that each person's going to eat about 600 calories a day, which is, you know, enough for a very small child. I operate on about 2,000 to 2,500 calories a day, depending on how active I am on the day. I can go under that if I need to, but I will start losing weight over an extended period of time. So understand it comes down to calories. I tell everybody that. Look at the overall calories and real calories. Some of these buckets, half the bucket is like powdered milk and orange drink or purple drink, and all it is basically, it's a food colored with sugar in it. So it's like, oh, well, this is another 5,000 calories. It's not 5,000 calories. It's basically sugar. You can go buy granulated sugar at the store and save a whole lot of money. Get real food. Get, you know, oatmeal, pasta, you know, stuff that's going to be really, really filling and it's going to give you adequate calories, but it's right under 20,000 calories a bucket. So an average adult, it'll last about 2 weeks or about two buckets a month for a grown adult. Just eating that bucket by themselves with no other supplemental food, beans and rice or any other addition.
Okay. And I'm glad that you said that you've eaten the food from, eaten the food and it's palatable.
They ate it. The pasta primavera, I made it the other night. Cooked up really good. Took me about 15 minutes, four cups of water, made a packet, about 15 minutes, spooned it out. I ended up adding a little bit of grilled chicken that I had on the grill because I wanted to add more protein to it because there's only about 10, 12 grams of protein per serving, which is okay on a nominal basis. But again, that's why you always have secondary food sources to add in together. And so I threw some grilled chicken and add some protein for everybody. And it was actually really good. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's something that I could eat regularly and, you know, alternate it with other stuff. And it wasn't like eating cardboard, which a lot of people, remember, this is certified USDA organic. This isn't crap that you go buy. This isn't Kraft. This isn't ramen noodles. This is real, true USDA stamp certified organic food.
Perfect. Sounds good. All right. The second question I had, I've got about 15 seconds only. About 15 seconds. Do you have to catch Biden say inshallah, that the Islamic term?
Yes, I did. I heard it. I wasn't sure. I even looked it up. I've read some stuff on it. It's very quick, so I wasn't sure if he was just mumbling, typical Biden, mumbling, didn't know where he's at. He was like, I wasn't sure if that was him or not, or if he actually was saying that. It also kind of sounded like he said maybe like, it's the law, or if it's in later. So I don't know, but I did, yes, I definitely heard that, and it sounded a lot like Muslim rhetoric, like he was saying that.
Yeah,
so
I thought so too. Yeah. And come to find out, a mutual listener, in fact, I'll send you this, video. A listener that listens to your show as well as mine.
Okay.
Sent me a video of him pandering to the Islamic community in, it had Arabic subtitles. It's just amazing. So, I just thought I'd tell you that, but, at any rate, glad to have food buckets back in stock. Probably not for long. So folks, get them and your nutritional supplements second to none. And of course, your radio show. Can't forget about that. Monday through Friday and Sunday, 7 to 8. Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 and Sunday, 7 to 8. So appreciate you. Appreciate all you do. We're out of time, aren't we? Eric the Tech. Oh, all right. He said, no, we got 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Well, I'll go ahead. And just because I know a lot of people have been asking me about it, we've been kind of on and off with it, I'll go ahead and activate the HR5 coupon code and basically allow the coupon code to go active on all the products on the website, all normal products that aren't on sale or anything like that. I'll go ahead and knock that out. I'll do it right when I get off the show. So HR5 will be active for this weekend.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Cool. I appreciate that. All right. Yes, thanks, sir, for all you do. I really appreciate the time. Austin Brower from the Ted and Austin Brower Show, healthmasters.com. God bless you and your family. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Rose.
All right. Folks, that'll do it for me right now. Don't forget Patreon meeting for Patreon members at the proper tier this Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Patreon meeting, 7 p.m. Eastern time this Sunday. All right? I'm going to see you there. A lot to talk about. God bless.